The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Look at this shock jock over here making comments like that.
Not one of the more likable ones at this point.
I've never heard Ahmed go that controversial right there.
I kept it clean. He's not that likable. I'm not saying anything that's not.
If Vladimir Putin was your quarterback, it'd be less controversial.
Yo, what's up? That's right, it's January 2nd. Happy 2023. It is I, Chris Sims, and shock jock Ahmed Farid over here. Just causing headlines, disgruntling the masses all over. Hope everybody's good. Seriously, though, Happy New Year. What's up there, Slugger? How are you?
Happy New Year. You never know what I'm going to say.
You never
know. People say about this podcast.
I know. You know.
What's Ahmed going to say?
What's Ahmed going to say? How many swear words is he going to blurt out? How crude and
will it be one?
Obnoxious will he be?
Yeah. It'll be one day.
Right. One day. It will be.
But we do have a requiem. Two of them, actually. Requiem for a team, because we got to lay to rest a lot of teams.
Oh,
five, I think.
Dead. Massacre Sunday. Black Sunday.
We got a couple submissions for the Jets that have curse words in them that you will have to read.
I'm going to have to read them.
You're going to have to read those.
All right. I somehow have a feeling that a lot of that's going to be Zach Wilson related there.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, man.
New Year, new me.
What's up? It's a new you? What's your new? Did you make a New Year's resolution?
No, not really. Less Twitter, maybe.
Okay.
Oh, that's less phone in general.
That's good. I like that. Yeah, I'm not a New Year's resolution guy either. I'm always on the pursuit of being better. So I don't know. I don't want
to
put that pressure on
that
day.
Yeah.
Right. What'd you do, though, New Year's?
Was at home. Watched football with the family.
Right.
Watched Chris Sims on TV.
Right.
New
Year's Eve, I meant more.
Oh, New Year's
the
Eve.
Good night.
I was with the family. Oh, well, I went over to my parents and watched Michigan lose.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. I'm sorry about
you
that.
You guaranteed me that Michigan would win.
Man,
that's what made it hurt more.
Hey, thinking about Twitter, that's right. I had to teach my son a good lesson on that. Because, of course, back when they did the college football Final Four, right, a month ago, I put out a tweet just being Mr. Football fan and said, the Big 12 sucks, which it does still. I'm not going to, back down from that. I mean, I understand they won. That's great. Good to them. I'm certainly not taking away from them. As a whole, I mean, the Big 12 has 50 people in the NFL.
Yeah.
The SEC has 360-something. Yeah. The Big 10 has 250-something. Look at the results of the college football playoffs. Tell me what the Big 12's done. So I said that, and of course, I ate that in a big way. And because of Twitter, my son got involved for the first time.
Oh, really?
So he was in my...
Was he defending you?
He was like, he couldn't believe it. I don't know what made him look. Yeah. He got into it. And I got to teach him a lesson that night. I was like, listen, I deserve this in a lot of ways. I stuck my nose in a place that I should not have. So sometimes you just got to take an L, right? And I took an L. But that was, man.
That was a frustrating game because, I mean, Michigan had the ball inside the 5 three times and had 3 points to show for it early on.
You're a field goal defense team. Kick the field goal early on. Yeah. That was a long two. And then you call Philly special against a zone defense.
Yeah,
that
is
mind-blowing, okay? The overturning of the call itself, the touchdown, that was ridiculous.
Yeah.
He did not have possession of the football. That was a bad call. I'm not saying that would have won the game.
You still should be able to punch it in the play after.
Definitely.
Yes, I agree.
Let alone the interception on the play. They spotted the ball 5 yards back to where that would have
been. Hey. I didn't even go there.
Hey, the Detroit Lions won yesterday.
Yeah,
good job.
Here we go. And they can still be a playoff
team. But I want to get back to New Year's Eve. Forget that.
Okay,
all right, so Michigan lost. You're crying at home.
Yes.
Someone's got to console you.
I was over at my parents, go back home.
Right.
My 8 and 6-year-old, my wife is like, you're not staying up. You're like, it's midnight. It's too late for you guys. I'm like, come on. I was like, it's the one night a year where they should be able to stay
right,
up.
Exactly.
And so the two kids stayed up.
Awesome.
And at 11:53, my six-year-old daughter looks at me and goes,
I'm tired.
Why are we staying up? I had not explained New Year's to her at all,
right,
I guess.
Right.
I thought I had.
That's when you know they're new to the deal. They're like, I don't even get this. Why are you keeping me up?
She goes, what are we doing here? Why are we still awake?
Right.
So we explained, but I had a good time.
All right, good.
Did you have a few drinks?
Did you have fun?
I mean, No drinks.
Look at you.
I've been feeling a little, you know, for
a little
like
dead,
everyone in this building.
Tired, cold.
Like a runny nose for like a month and a half.
Right.
So I didn't.
Yep. All right.
That didn't stop you, I'm sure.
No, it did not. I mean, you know me. And it was a great day. I started drinking and, you know, having some smokes right at the kickoff of the Michigan game.
Yeah.
I was excited to sit down and enjoy that. And that just went right into the next game, which was insane. And then I got into, you know, big Jenga with my wife,
kind of
in the middle of the game.
Oversized
we were watching
pieces.
It. She was drinking wine. I was having fun. We were playing Jenga. That was kind of fun. And then, I mean, it was crazy because I was going to the New Year's Eve thing, right?
Yes.
And wanting to see the ball drop. But at the same time, you know, Ohio State was driving at that point.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, I can't miss this, all right?
I think it synced up. Yeah, Matt Casey was for Pete today.
Yeah.
I hope Pete and his family are doing okay. They've been sick, all of us, for a month and a half.
Right.
Matt said in my ear, he goes, they synced it up. They looked at exactly the time that kick happened.
Yes.
It was like right at midnight.
That the ball hit the ground, and it said it, I saw something yesterday and that was midnight. But I was sitting there with my son. We were watching it. He was kind of rooting for Ohio State. And the ball hit. We kind of watched the celebration and he was like, it's New Year's. Happy New Year. And I was like, oh, man, we missed the ball.
I know.
That was a good weekend, though. Good weekend of football.
Chris got into it on Twitter again. Probably we'll get into it with some of these NFL games, too, in the results,
because
there were some crazy things that happened. We're hitting every game from Sunday. We got Damn Okay, Give Me the Headlines. We got Requiem for a Team as we bury five teams who were eliminated. One of those teams eliminated was not the Green Bay Packers.
No, sir.
Still alive. Aaron Rodgers. So we're going to start with a look at the NFC wild card. We'll start with the Packers against the Vikings, and we talked about this game midweek, and I go, the Packers are probably favored in this game, and they were. And then afterwards, people are like, wow, what an upset in the NFL. I'm like, it wasn't an upset.
Everybody thought that was going to happen, not to that extent.
Green Bay was favored. They won, yeah, you're right, to that extent. 41-17 was the final score, and now they, as they say, control their own destiny. That's frowned upon here at NBC. But
it's a big debate here at NBC. Apparently, we've gotten way too into the technicalities.
Destiny
of that
cannot
word.
Be controlled. but it seems like Aaron Rodgers is doing a pretty good job of it. They can clinch a playoff berth with a win against my Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field next week. Who would have thought? They were 4-8. Let's just start with Aaron Rodgers. Let's give Aaron Rodgers the first word because he's enjoying this more than most, as he should. They were 4-8. Everyone wrote him off because they were 4-8 and looked terrible. And this is what he had to say after the game.
I know not many people in that locker room, and definitely not many of you people, believed we'd be sitting here at 8-8 with control our own destiny going into week 18. Pretty special.
Is there anyone enjoying this moment more than Aaron Rodgers?
He loves this. Nobody that in football that enjoys shoving it up everybody's ass more than Aaron Rodgers. How dare you doubt me? The relaxes over all the years, right? I mean, really, there's a part of me with the Green Bay Packers that think they're like, and Florio has said this a little bit, that they're better when they're underdog a little bit. I do think there is something to that to a degree, where he just cuts it loose a little bit more when they're the underdogs. You know, even the Jair Alexander talking shit to Justin Jefferson kind of backed them into a corner this week to be like, all right, put up or shut up right here. There's something to that. I got to give them credit for their toughness. I think, again, that we got to talk about Matt LaFleur a little bit, his ability to keep this all together. If for some reason, he always gets overlooked in Green Bay because Aaron Rodgers is such a big personality and such a star. But, you know, I think there's credit there to be given to him. And then, the overall toughness and the culture of a football team here. And, it took some tough losses, but hung in there. And the thing I'm going to jump on more than anything, because we know a quarterback and all that, but Green Bay's defense is saving the show right now. Mm-hmm. You know,
been critical of the defense.
Definitely.
You think they're overhyped?
They were overhyped. I mean, I thought they were going to be what we've seen the last 4 or 5 weeks. I thought this was kind of what we're going to see the whole year. You know, them being dominant, them making plays, right? You know, that's where I started to go bad. I guess the talent's just a little overrated. Nobody ever makes a play, but they've come together here. Mm-hmm. And then I think between the Vikings going down the field early on in the game, right, and them getting the stop after the block punt. It wasn't the driving down the field.
Right.
That was a huge
moment.
At the
1 yard line.
At the 1 yard line. To have first and goal at the one and then hold them to a field goal, what a huge moment. Then the special teams.
Yeah.
Which he's the best kick returner in football and continues to make big returns and moments to kind of get them jump started. Did that last week against Miami, right?
Deshaun Nixon.
Right. I mean, yep. He's dangerous. But then, like, the Packers go for it on a fourth down in the midfield. They just try to take a shot down the field. Rodgers gets sacked. Guess who saves the day? Defense. Vikings go for it on fourth down. They intercept it. Pick six. And really, that was like, that kind of was the game after that. You
Packers
never felt like they lost control after
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Packers had 14 points at that point. With 14 total yards of offense. And so the offense wasn't moving the ball. The defense stepped up, and then the offense got rolling.
They started going, right.
But you mentioned Matt LaFleur, too, yeah. And he is now 16-0 in December as the Green Bay head coach.
Right.
With all the controversies and drama, and
yes.
it does seem like, and he's not an old guy. Wait, is Aaron Rodgers older than him, or is it close? Or is he like a year older?
It's right around. You know, that's a good question. I'm going to say he's just a little older, but it's not much. And maybe Matt Casey can look that up. But Rodgers is, what, 39? Or is he 40? I think he might be 40 now.
I don't know if he's 40 yet.
Yeah, I can't remember either. I've lost track a little bit.
But to, like, 39.
He's 39.
But to have that heavy hand and, like, he's never flustered. And even when Aaron Rodgers seems to be putting him down midseason, now we got to simplify.
Right.
Matt LaFleur is in front of everyone, goes, I don't know what
that
means.
I don't even know what that means. Right. Right. Like, he doesn't back down, obviously.
Right.
You know, I think that's the big thing. And I think he's got a great way of, okay, you want to do this? All right, we'll do a little of this. So I'll, you know, appeal to you a little bit, but we're really going to do this over here too. He's a much better coach than I think he gets credit for. And we've had this discussion, I feel like, in the last three Decembers when they were a number one seed or a number two seed in the playoffs. And we're like, why does nobody talk about Matt LaFleur getting coach of the year conversation?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, and then you said it right. The defense continued to make plays. The run game started to make things happen. And then Rodgers started to feel comfortable. He made a few plays in the pass game, explosive plays there. And, gosh, it got to 24-3 with a few minutes left in the first half, and you were like, this is over. It's the weirdest shit ever. I have never, again, I'm going to say this again for, I think, the 17th week in a row, I've never seen a team with this record lose these kind of games or be in these kind of games that they're in, Minnesota. It's very weird to see a 12-4 football team, right, Ahmed?
Yeah.
Where, and I don't know, I mean, you challenge me. That a 12-4 football team that's lost 24-7, 40-3, 34-23, and then 41-17, you just don't usually see teams that are major players in a conference lose like that.
I don't know that it's mathematically possible, but it's reality that they have a 19-point differential, like negative.
Yeah.
It's a negative 19-point differential. They've been outscored this year. They're 12-4. They have a worse point differential than the Jets, than the Browns, than the Raiders, and the Saints.
That's interesting, right? I mean, it's crazy.
They're not going to be in the playoffs. And the Vikings won their division.
Yeah. And I mean, and
can make the argument.
And
they
could have won
team.
Yesterday and maybe still been in the conversation for the number one seed. I mean, that was all being crazy.
But they're still 11-0 in one score games.
Oh, that's
so
right.
You can never take that away from them until they lose their first one. They might be the third best team currently in the NFC North because my Detroit Lions.
Woo! Baby.
Maybe their most impressive game of the year, although it was against the hapless Chicago Bears. I enjoyed this one very much. 41-10, the final score. Bears scored right away, so I was like, oh, great. Are we going to get into one of these shootout games?
And it was Fields with like a sick run, too, right, if I remember right? And I was like, oh, here we go.
They figured it out, won by 31. So they can clinch a playoff berth still in the last week of the season. That's a victory for the Lions right here. They have to beat Green Bay. They have to hope Seattle loses to the Rams, which who knows? It could happen. I want to start with the next-gen dots here.
Okay.
Because my guy, Aiden Hutchinson, what does he have? He has three interceptions this year. On the year. The rookie edge guy out of the University of Michigan. Kristen, do we have those dots for Aiden Hutchinson? Because he lined up at corner. They're getting creative. They figure they have to. There he is, if you're watching on Peacock or YouTube. Right part of the screen, number 97 there. It's like he's almost like he's out of bounds and then comes out of nowhere and gets the pick.
It's really like an end of the half type defense. He's athletic. They probably feel like he's got some good feel. He's defending the sideline, right? So they can't get some completion and
maybe. And it was 7 seconds left when they snapped the ball. So, yeah, he played it exactly right. He is everything we talked about coming out in the draft. I think that's the big thing. You know, he continues to get better as a pure pass rusher. He's just a really good football player in all areas. He can do everything. You know, I think that's the thing that jumps out to me. I don't know if his high-end total pass rush potential will be the same as Trayvon Walker, but what I can say right now is he's a better overall player than Trayvon Walker is at this point. Hmm. He pops on film on a more consistent basis. He, as we talked about, his quickness, his ability to shoot through gaps and do that, drop into coverage, have feel. I mean, he really looks like to me just a bigger TJ Watt. He's a longer TJ Watt, and I wouldn't be shocked if we're talking about this guy as one of the best defensive players in the league for a lot of years to come.
They've got some building blocks on defense.
They do.
Offensively, I mean, we know they're one of the best teams in the league. 14 touchdown passes over the last 6 games for Jared Goff. Had 3 yesterday. Has 0 interceptions in those last 6 games.
Yeah.
So Detroit, they still have a chance at playing in the postseason for the first time in a long time. One thing on the Bears, Justin Fields, saw you mentioned that run.
Yeah.
He breaks Lamar Jackson's. Oh, he needs 64 yards now to break Lamar Jackson's single-season quarterback rushing record of 1,206. So that is the good news.
You know, imagine if they ran him early in the year and actually
true.
Did that.
That's
what would his
point.
Numbers be, right?
That's a good point.
Right.
He did seem to get beat up quite a bit in the game.
Too much lately.
It almost looked like he was sitting on the – did you see that shot of him on the bench where they just took the blue tent and put it over
him? I did see that. I did. They were like, you just stay where you are.
You
we
sit.
Can move.
We're going to bring the tent to you.
The tent over here, franchise.
Awesome as a runner,
yes.
Right? Like electric. Maybe
yes.
One of the best we've ever – maybe the best by the time we're done. The best at the quarterback position to do it. He's just super fast out there. The final passing numbers were not pretty against a very bad pass defense.
Yeah.
7-21, 75 yards. Took 7 sacks in the game.
Right.
And so much like it was, a month ago or 2 months ago, you did an interview with a Chicago podcast, and every question was about, is Justin Fields going to be the guy?
Right.
And then the next question was, hey, is Justin Fields going to be the guy?
Yeah.
And you had to figure out a different way to answer it each time. I feel like that question is still going to be asked this offseason.
I think so, to a degree. I don't think it'll be as panicky as it was early this year when you heard me doing that interview or even in the offseason, because I think he gave them enough bright moments to where they go, wait, no matter what, we can do some stuff with him. They should be able to formulate some players and a scheme around him that we can still be pretty dangerous. Because you just said it. Arguably the greatest runner we've already seen at quarterback already. I mean, he's that kind of guy. But, yeah, there's more to do in the passing, right, for sure. But, again, it's what we've talked about, and I think if they continue to expand how they play around him, you know, that takes the pressure off of, like, getting it done right away. And like we've talked about, when you're awesome at running the ball and doing all that stuff, it usually makes defenses play defenses they don't want to play, and then they're stuck in run defenses that are optimal for passing. You know, we've seen growth. But, yeah, he's not there in that department yet. He's not. Now it's play better in the pocket, still continue to be a little bit more of a consistent, accurate thrower of the football, right? And then hopefully they can add pieces around him to make that better, let alone the running stuff even better, too, to find out the right formula there. But, yeah, they're a team that we knew halfway through the year. They were chalking it up till next year. Before the year, they didn't sign any free agents because they got a lot of money that's going to come due next year. So we'll see what they do this offseason. But, like, to your point with the Lions and the offense, I mean, that was like they had no chance of stopping your offense yesterday, right? I mean, you guys did whatever you wanted. I felt like I turned around. I was like, there goes Swift for 10. There goes pass to this guy for 10. Here's a run for 15. Here's another pass for 20. Oh, they're down inside the 5. Oh, touchdown. Okay. Oh, wait. Oh, the Bears are going 3 and out. Oh, hey, here go the Lions again. I mean, it was just a machine. And, yeah, it's not a very talented Bears defense right now. And good for your Lions. I'm excited for the Sunday game against the Packers.
You got to be playing at the top of your game if you want to beat the Detroit Lions. We've been saying that for years.
For years. That's a staple of the league.
So the Lions win. Coupled with the Packers' win, officially eliminated the Washington Commanders because they lost to the Browns. 24-10 was the final score there. Much to the surprise of Ron Rivera after the game. Did
is
you
that
see that
shocking?
Whole thing?
I haven't watched it yet. I read it.
So I and Matt Casey in my ear agrees with me. Like,
what?
I don't think it's that big of a deal,
yeah.
Right? Because I think some reporter said, are you going to play Sam Howell in the last game if you're eliminated before you play? And he goes, we can be eliminated, which it did take a lot for them to get eliminated, a couple of wins and their loss. And, I mean, I don't blame Ron Rivera for not talking to his people and being like, hey, if we lose, are we going to be eliminated? Because you're not like, you know, you need to win.
Focused on this week.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I think that got overblown a little bit. But what was not overblown is how poorly the offense performed, specifically in the second half of this one. Three interceptions for Carson Wentz, a career low passer rating of 31.4. It was a game where everything was on the line for Washington, and the offense did not play. They were not up to the task.
Not at all. I mean, I think that's going to be one here where we're going to dissect this for a little while as far as the decision overall and Ron Rivera's self-inflicted wound to his franchise of bringing the quarterback controversy back to life after going through a winning streak and with a quarterback that certainly seemed to stabilize your team.
Yeah, but you weren't on.
I was not. I understood it. I understood it. I understood it. Yeah, I did. Now, you know, I think the big thing is you got to know who you're bringing off the bench and Carson Wentz and feel comfortable where he's at and all of that. But yeah, I think that's going to be all I'm saying is it's fair to dissect that decision. You know, I understood it. Yeah, because I'm one that you've heard me say, like, Heinicke leaves plays on the field, and then when he starts to turn the ball over, you go, wait, he's missing plays and he's turned the ball over. So I understood the thought. And then, you know, I know Carson Wentz is down there impressive in practice and doing things like that to where, you know, he's like a shiny new toy. Oh, whoa, we could run this play with him. Oh, look what he can do, right? But just does not have a governor or a brake pad. And just, you know, man, you just would think in a game like this, it's not a great offense you're playing on the other side of the ball. You know you're going to be judged maybe for the rest of your career, and it's a career-changing moment if you make dumb mistakes in this game. And then still to do it, that's where I just go, what? Like, don't you – this is where I've gotten into the conversation is he needs to pay attention to what's going on and being said about him in the real world instead of he seems so inoculated and trying to block it out that he has no clue – of the perception that's around him. That's what was shocking to me more than anything. Hmm. You know, I wasn't shocked that Cleveland won the game. I picked Washington to win it, but I was shocked that he was that loose with the football and really a career-defining game. Like, he's a backup quarterback now. That's official. He will not go somewhere to be a starter next year. That's not going to happen. And he has starting caliber talent, but, you know, I think between the way things have shook out and Philly to Indy, where Indy was pretty good, but there's obviously some things that were wrong there. And now in this, I have a hard time thinking any team's going to go and sell to their fan base, hey, Carson Wentz is going to be our guy next year. That's not going to happen.
But that's interesting you mentioned that, though, because much like you talked about Cam Newton in the same way, like, is he a backup guy?
Right.
Like, is he a distraction there?
I hear you. That's
going to
be.
He's got the talent to be a backup.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he could be one of those that's almost threatening unless you have a really good starter. And maybe that's where he needs to be in that kind of place. Maybe he needs to be able to place, like, behind Josh Allen, where he's just like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to outshine this guy in practice every day, and now I can learn to play the position, and maybe I can learn to play like him a little bit, you know, and maybe that's going to be the case. But you're right. He's a little dangerous as a backup to a team that's got a low-level starting quarterback because they're always going to look at him and go, look at this big sucker. Look at the way he runs. Look at the way he throws. And that's where he's dangerous. But, yeah, that was disappointing overall. And I'm with you, too, in that context. Like, coaches, they're focused, tunnel vision people. It's like, okay, yeah, they're win this game. They knew they had to win this game this week to stay alive. That's all that mattered. He wasn't thinking about much else. So I wouldn't overanalyze that either.
For the Browns, one thing on them. I mean, this is a lost season for them. They kind of knew it would be without Deshaun Watson for much of it.
Yeah.
But that's some glimmers of hope. The connection there between him and Amari Cooper.
Yes.
Like you can definitely build on that. When you already have a running game, here we are going to get hyped about the Browns again next year. I can already see myself picking them as a playoff team, as I did this year, and being wrong.
I think they could be dangerous if they play defense, run the ball, play action pass, move Deshaun Watson a little bit, and really play within that formula. You know, I hope they do. And honestly, as you've heard me say in other weeks, like they had another fourth down, you know, go for it moment in the game when they were up 3-2 what was it? Oh, they had a fourth and seven, kicked a field goal, made it. I believe it put them up 6-0.
Yes.
There was a penalty.
Yep.
And they decided to go for it now on 4th and 2 and didn't get it and left points on the board.
Correct.
And that, sorry, so I'm glad you saw that. And that to me is like just stupid. I don't know if the analytics team, I don't know if Kevin Stefanski has to listen to the analytics team or whatever, but to me, you know, one thing I feel like they've showed a little bit here is like, hey, if they're conservative and play defense and run the ball and Watson makes a few plays, they're tough to beat. And they ran the ball well against a good defense, and Watson's still getting his feet underneath them. But, yeah, like you said, you saw some potential there. And I wouldn't be shocked if Cleveland was right back in the mix in the AFC next year.
You have a very simple formula. If you're going to go for fourth down, get it. don't not get it.
Well,
you know?
No. Or, like, I just – what I don't understand in a game like
low
that –
low-scoring game, not – yeah, I get
you, it. That's what I mean. Like, yes. What do you – we're going to – why? Just
yep.
go up 6-0. It's fucking Carson yep. Wentz over there struggling to get completions.
Sure.
So
sure.
just hang in there and keep playing the way you're playing.
They knew they were going to hit Amari Cooper for a couple
Apparently,
of long ones later
yeah,
in the game.
Right.
So
good for Amari Cooper.
Wanted to see how many touchdowns they could score. So good for the Browns. Good for Amari Cooper. Bad for the Commanders. And we lay them to rest. The
Uh-oh.
First of five Requiem for a Teams.
We
the Washington Commanders
die.
Are done. Here lie the Washington Commanders. All right, here we go.
You wore maroon for them today, huh?
I know, I did. I, yeah. I was sad. Yeah. I like the talent they got. Yeah. But. It's a season that was ill-fated. Their quarterback play leaving fans frustrated. But there was a surprise. You should have seen Rivera's eyes when they said, guess what? You've been eliminated.
Like,
wow, really? No way. That happened already?
That was good. I like it. So you stuck off for him, but you took a shot for him. And
I felt like I had to.
Anyways.
I felt
you
like
had to bring that apart.
It was the best joke. I had to go there.
Yeah,
all right. For the laughs. Right?
I liked it.
Just for the laughs.
I liked it.
So thank you, Kristen. We will keep that music handy because
it's
we're bringing it back in this next game, too. We'll get to that in a second.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta. Keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
Seahawks versus the Jets. Seahawks win this one rather easily, it seemed like.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Their defense played well. So now Seattle, here's the scenario quick for Seattle. They can clinch a playoff berth versus the Rams. They got to beat the Rams. They got to hope that Green Bay loses to my Detroit Lions. So then Seattle would get into the postseason. Not a great chance. I think Green Bay, obviously, you hear that. They have the best chance of getting that final spot in the wild card. But for the Seahawks here, I mean, this is – it's been an up-and-down year for them. They surprised everyone, then hit a little bit of a lull. But, I mean, overall, even if they don't make the postseason, which they still could do,
yeah.
I was like
– what a year.
What a year right. offensively, and they showed it defensively yesterday.
Right. You know, that's – it was. I mean, it's Seattle. It's where I love Pete Carroll. I mean, they got the crazy gene, and they just – you can't ever tell them that it's when it's time to compete, to lay down or not play crazy hard or whatever, the energy in that stadium. And then, you know, what we talked about on the What the Fuck Happened Wednesday podcast last week, right, when we were talking about the matchups here. You know, what did I say at the one point? I was like, if the Jets can't run the ball – the Seahawks' pass defense is scary good.
Yep.
They're very good in that department. They know how to, like, stress your protections. You see Tariq Woolen there yesterday, right? He's all over the place. Michael Jackson's all over the place. Tariq Woolen dropped, like, two or three other interceptions that hit him in the chest. You know, they got something. So when they don't have to worry about the run, that's what scared me for the Jets. Now, I thought the Jets would maybe be able to run the ball a little bit better on them. More importantly, I thought the Jets' defense – would really give Seattle a hard time. The way Seattle's protected the last few weeks, I mean, the Jets, I know, the Jacksonville game wasn't best and all that, but for the most part of the year, we've seen a really quality defense from them.
But, man, from the get-go, Ahmed, I mean, three plays, 73-yard drive to start the game? I mean, just, like, first play of the game, just Kenneth Walker, three rockets up his ass down the sideline, almost goes for a 73-yard touchdown on the first play, then runs for a few yards, and then they throw a touchdown pass. And it was just like the onslaught started from there. And, you know, the defense, yeah, they were harassing Mike White. He was a little off. He throws another – he throws his first in the interception – or missed a big throw, threw an interception, and the Hawks got up like 17-3, and you kind of felt like, uh-oh, that's trouble for the New York Jets, who aren't playing great defense. And, yeah, the offense certainly wasn't a well-oiled machine here down the stretch.
How good do you feel for Geno Smith? Got the revenge game, team he played for 4 years, drafted by.
Love it.
Knocks him out of the playoffs.
Love it. Like, I mean, just that's where football is great. It's just karma is a bitch in football. It always comes back somehow, some way, if you can hang around long enough. Great for him. Like, really, I couldn't be happier for – this is a guy, like, I don't really know. I know vicariously through my dad and my brother. So, like I've told you before, I root for him because I know how much my brother liked him, how much my dad thought he had real big-time talent, his work ethic, like all those things. So I was always a fan of Geno just because of what they would tell me. So that was a great moment. I'm very happy for him, and way to go, Seattle Seahawks.
So now the Jets are done. They were 7-4.
Right. Now, that can be we're going to talk about another quarterback decision that certainly deserves to be dissected by a fan base and everything.
They lost five straight.
Yeah.
A lot of the blame was going on Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Who some people said was the best quarterback in that draft class. has not looked like it so far this year. But Mike White did not look any better. In fact, maybe worse in the game. Couple of interceptions. But it was all on his shoulders. He threw the ball 46 times.
Yeah, they couldn't run the ball. They got into a game that was not conducive to the way they want to play. And, you know, and very conducive to Seattle. It's like, yeah, great. We can fly around in disguise and do all these crazy blitzes, and this guy blitzes and this drops out. I mean, that's what Seattle wants to do. They don't want to be against the 49ers going, oh, we got to worry about pulling guards and our D-line's not that good. And now we have to, you know, take chances and ruin our pass coverage because we can't stop the run. So those are those issues. But, hey, my problem with the Jets is this. They just still a lot of positives. Just like you said with Seattle, no matter what, we did not expect these results from the New York Jets. So we have to remember that. But to me, the downfall of the year is no doubt about it that the team, the head coach, the organization made it about one guy when there was more problems than one guy on the football team. And that to me. And then they propped up a one guy to make him look like he was the savior. And so that to me, you took away from the team. That would be my big conversation. You made it about one person, and then one person was going to save the day, even though, okay, wait, we're 5-2 with a guy, and we played a great defense up in New England, and we lost because they returned a punt for a touchdown. We're going to make it all about one guy and flip around the whole season, flip around the culture we have in the locker room, flip around the way the media talks to us, and now that's going to be a distraction. And that, to me, would be the part we dissect. That's where it did not make sense to me. And, yes, as we saw, other than the Bears game, what? Okay, Mike White was better than Zach Wilson. I got that. I get it. But it wasn't so much so that I think you throw out the future plans of your organization. I mean, they still had big-time problems finding the end zone with Mike White at quarterback. Big time. I mean, they were a field goal fest team with him. So that's where I'll never understand that. And Ahmed, to your point where, you know, if we gave up on quarterbacks after year two, man, there'd be a whole bunch of Hall of Famers we never fucking know about, right? I know we're in the, we want to know how good he is right now. Yes, I'm in the basement on Twitter, and I got to know if he's the franchise. I'm a plumber.
People tweet from every floor,
I know.
Though. It's not just the
basement. I like to just downgrade those people.
And now they got to figure out where they are. Like, what's the future hold for the quarterback position?
Gosh.
Joe Douglas, I think I saw a quote somewhere where the GM said, you know, they're not looking to trade Zach Wilson. You know, it's like, and at this point, like, if you're a Jets fan or in that organization, you're like, who is our future franchise quarterback? There could be some movement. We saw it last season with some of the veteran quarterbacks out there. I don't know that the New York Jets is that appealing of a place.
Yeah, it's still good. The Derek Carrs, the Jimmy Garoppolos of the world.
That's true.
They're going to sit there and go, wait, the Jets' O-line, if it's healthy, we can't forget about that. They lost their O-line, their health of their O-line. And they had some good offensive linemen there. Remember, early in the year, they were running the ball just about on everybody, right? So And I think, and then the young receivers, there's some appealing things for a quarterback here. The thing that's going to be the big thing is the offensive coordinator and Mike LaFleur is going to be under major scrutiny because you can't say it's the quarterback after what we've seen here. So that they're going to have to figure that out.
Sure.
And then, would you be shocked if Zach Wilson told the Jets, like, I don't want to be here anymore? Mm-hmm. I mean, I would almost tell him to do that. I almost feel like we're down a path of no return. The fan base doesn't even care. They've lost total reality.
Yeah.
And it's like even with these losses, like no one even says anything about Mike White up here. And like you turn on WFAN, it's like he still played a good game and everything was fine.
Yeah.
And there's not nearly the criticism. So it's weird. And I would expect him to go. I'm going to go lay on Jay Glazer what he said 2 weeks ago in the Sunday pregame or the Christmas Eve pregame. He said that Zach Wilson wouldn't be back. Mm-hmm. And I would think he knows that from his agent. Somebody connected to Zach Wilson or whatever, and yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see. He needs to go somewhere, be a backup for a Patrick Mahomes or somebody like that, and kind of regain his form of his career, or go to the Rams with Matt Stafford if Baker Mayfield's not there, right?
Sure.
Something like that. Be in one of those situations to where, hey, wait, they're in the offense that values a big arm, and then I can kind of start to continue to polish my game and become a better quarterback. I wouldn't mind seeing him do that.
Zach Wilson for Trey Lance. Straight up. Just fix it for both teams right there. All right, so let's lay him to rest.
Lay him to rest.
The Jets are done. Didn't
let me
think
get
that.
To this. Hold
Didn't
on.
Didn't think that after the 7-4 start, but they've lost five straight. And so now we lay them to rest. I'm not going to do this because we got two fan submissions here that are way better than anything I could have done. They're a little harsher.
Yeah.
I get the feeling they're from disgruntled Jets fans right now.
You think?
At
our tags 39, right?
Yes.
That's our first one.
And the other was submitted anonymously into our podcast. So why don't you start the first one from Rob Taglia.
Rob
and Chris,
Taglia.
You have to read these.
Yeah.
Because they have...
They like got some fucking F words. That's the way they should.
They
we're in fucking
words.
We're in fucking New York, all right? Hey, fucking forget about it.
All right.
All right. So here we go.
Okay.
This Jets team showed plenty of hustle, but along the way ran out of muscle.
Ooh.
Once without Hall and Tucker, Zach, the young motherfucker, was a Wilson that played worse than Russell.
That was so
very
good.
Well,
I saw that.
Very
yes.
well.
Well
very
done, well. Rob.
Right.
Well done, Rob.
Right.
We don't necessarily condone everything in all of these. You know, we don't like calling people names.
No.
If you submit it,
right.
we will read
I'm
it.
Just reading what you're
and
saying.
It's right.
We're just
these
reading
my
words.
Saying.
Right, my words. Sue our at our tags 39
yes.
if there's a problem here.
All right. All right. And an anonymous homie out there submitted this.
This
well.
Has to be somebody from within our NBC brethren, right? I want to say it's... here we go. Mike White was dubbed a hero, but he was predictably a zero.
Ouch.
But blame won't go to that turd because their fans are so absurd. This fucking franchise is such a shit show.
Oh,
I love
man.
It. That was even better. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, well, I don't like calling anyone a turd,
but
it rhymed, and so you have to sometimes go with a rhyme.
Well, I also like that this unnamed source here took a shot at the fans.
That's true, too. Yeah.
He's self-evaluating thyself, and he's going, wait, I'm a part of an absurd fan base that's unrealistic at times.
Should be an interesting offseason for the Jets on what they do or don't do.
They got a lot of good pieces to be excited about, right? I mean, their team, there's a lot to like. There really is. They just got to figure out that QB thing.
All right, put a bow on this NFC wildcard situation right now. That last seed, the final seed, the seventh and final seed in the playoffs, still up for grabs. Green Bay. Steve Kornacki did this for us on Football Night in America. It's great having Steve. He can do all the numbers stuff and make sense of it all. Green Bay win against the Detroit Lions. They are in the postseason. There's a 64% chance of that happening. Seattle can still get in. They got a 20% chance. They got a win against the Rams. And they got to hope the Packers lose and the Lions can still get in if all things break right. Gut feel. Chris, what's going to happen? Who is making the postseason in that seventh seed?
I'm going to go with the Packers. I am. I just, you know, again, it's. I just look at them and go at home, kind of got mojo going. Played pretty good defense against your Lions the first time around.
Yeah.
Right?
Aaron Rodgers made some
stupid mistakes.
Stupid mistakes.
Three bad interceptions. Like, bad, bad. Like, you don't see him do that. And he's still not on his A game, obviously, but he's certainly better. And... You know, the thing I said on Football Night in America last night, too, was that game last time you guys won, I think, 15-9, right? that next game was the start of the Christian Watson experiment. And that's where they're a different team. And then, like what you talked about earlier, their defense, the way they're playing. Yeah, I think if I'm going to pick one there, I'm going Green Bay.
Still things to be decided in the AFC wild card as well. And for that, we fire up Damn Okay.
Damn. I'm okay. Damn. I'm okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, yes.
I'm okay.
The legal gambolizing.
Oh, baby. I am Chris Sims. I'm okay. Damn. Okay.
We're still sorting out. We're still, you may have heard, still trying to sort out the.
I was. Well,
the,
yeah.
The playoffs. We'll scenarios. Get into the AFC. It gets confusing.
Yeah, right. It is. So I asked a dumb blonde question where I was like, wait, what happens if they all lose?
And I go, Detroit plays Green Bay.
And I was like, oh, that can't happen.
They can't all lose. Although okay. Detroit could figure out a way. They win, but they lose. I don't
you
know.
You know your Lions.
I do know my Lions. The Patriots do figure out ways to win, it seems like, each and every year, even when they look like garbage, especially on offense. It didn't matter because our Damn Okay goes to a guy on defense who scored some points for him, Kyle Duggar, with the pick six. I think we have the next gen dots for this play, which you also broke down on Football Night in America, correct?
I did. Yes. I just did. Great play.
They really. were down at the time, 14-10, right? And that gave them the lead and flipped the game.
It flipped the game in a lot of ways, too. I mean, Miami was kind of, in control, winning a field goal position game, right? So it felt like things were there in their favor. But here we go. You know, the disguise, I think that, and Matt Casey, if we can maybe, like, if we can pause it right at the start just to kind of explain that, too. Because, you know, like we talked about with Green Bay, it's just, like, what I love with them is, it's not a great offense, but we're seeing a defense here as of late that's making a lot of plays on that side of the ball. And with this play, too, you know, I just want to hit on, like, a few things just that we kind of pointed out in Football Night America. First off, great disguise, right? They're a team that does do all-out blitz at times, so they made it kind of look like it was going to be an all-out blitz from that look right there. And Duggar was down there over the right guard, like he was going to blitz. And then, Ahmed, they drop here to where the corners go to safety. The guys that look like they're playing curl flat, they go to the actual flat to be the corners. And then Duggar, who looks like he's in a blitz, backs out, and he's the Tampa 2 middle linebacker, right, that Tony Dungy made so famous. And he just reads the quarterback's eyes, makes a great play on the ball, and hey, he's one of the best safeties in football. He is. It's just, I feel like if the Patriots were a little bit of a sexier team, a hair more dominant, people would understand how good he is. We got some good safeties in the league right now, but he's certainly up there.
I mean, their defense is just so opportunistic. And what is that now? That is, I had this somewhere. I think they have seven.
I mean,
defensive
the Bengals,
touchdowns,
the Raiders,
season.
I mean, they've been making plays in almost every game here as of late.
It's the most in franchise history. Yeah, they have seven defensive touchdowns this year, most by a team in the NFL since the Jaguars in 2017. So, despite all those offensive struggles, which they still had some in this game, like that offense is not going to. They're not going to figure something out, are they?
No, they're not. I think that's why I think we're hitting on this is just the fact that, you know, the. I think the Patriots defense is going to, like we were, they got to make a play or two like this every game. I think if the game is played status quo, they're not going to win it. If both teams play clean and, we both had no turnovers or we both had one turnovers, they're not going to win. But if their defense can give their offense the short field and then they're very good in special teams in that department too, yeah, they can be a pain in the butt. And I think that's the way they're going to have to play right now. Yeah, they're definitely not good enough on offense to think they're going to consistently move the ball on playoff defenses.
They are 8-0 in games when they allow fewer than 20 points this season. They are 0-8 in games in which they allow 20 or more points this season.
So that just says it all, right?
Right there. And they did lose Jacoby Myers to a shoulder injury in this one. I don't know how serious that
is. It was the touchdown pass.
It was the touchdown pass.
They weren't lined up right. Mac Jones basically got the ball and like tossed it with two hands out there to get it out there quick. And he jumped up, and, man, he landed hard on his shoulder. And that looked like it was the play, at least, to me.
Miami has lost five straight. Still have a playoff chance, as do the Patriots here. We'll get into all those scenarios here in a second.
Yeah, Miami with all the mistakes. You know, whether it's that pick six.
Yep.
There they are. Now they're down 16-14 after the pick six. They drive down. They're kind of on fringe field goal territory. Tyreek, kind of, it's not a good throw. You like your big-time receiver to catch it. You're certainly telling your quarterback in the meeting the next day, hey, you got to throw a better ball. But he kind of hits the ball in the air, interception. And I felt like really from that point on, that kind of was like see you later, Miami, and New England kind of controlled things, and it just was too much with a third-string quarterback for Miami to overcome.
Well, exactly. I think the second time this year that Teddy Bridgewater has started a game, and then he has been replaced by Skylar Thompson. So you feel bad for Mike McDaniel.
Yeah.
You can't really plan for something like that. Although this is an offense that you'd think should be able to function kind of like Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah.
With
they're just not good enough up front to kind of like make it happen as far as the traditional running game, right? That's where Shanahan had that ability to go, like, I got a rookie quarterback. I can't ask him to do everything right here. But the one thing we can still do is I can hit it off the middle and we can fuck people up and open up some holes. They're not quite like that. You know, they're a solid running team. But as we've talked all year, they need some of the other stuff to work for their run game to kind of get going. They're not dominant up front to where they can just go, we're going to line up and smash you that way. We'll see. They could still be a real big pain in the butt here week 18, even with Skylar Thompson. And his ability to run, I wouldn't be shocked if they infused a few quarterback design runs. They like him. He did great in the preseason, if you remember, and all that. So we'll see. They're still dangerous. I don't know what it's going to mean for Teddy or Tua as far as the week 18 health status.
Yeah, they are still alive, though, the Dolphins. The Patriots are still alive.
Yeah.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers are still alive.
They never die.
As well, thank God we did not do that foot kiss bet again. Like, we jokingly said we'll do it because there's no chance it's going to happen two years in a row.
Seriously.
And here they are.
Seriously.
So we're going to give the damn okay to Kenny Pickett for sure, but also Matt made sure to throw Mike Tomlin in there.
Got to.
Because
way to go, Matty.
Keeping it all together. Talk about, like, a cool guy. Like, I would love to play for Mike Tomlin. And the fact that they just get it done every year. I mean, that speaks a lot to the franchise, but it speaks a lot to Mike Tomlin because it seemed improbable at times.
I agreed. It seemed improbable 2 years in a row.
Seemed improbable, like, before Sunday started.
It's just like, can you really out-hit teams and, you know, make a few turnovers and play ugly on offense and, like, put together and string together a bunch of wins to get in the playoffs? And they do because of him. It's he knows how to manage football games. You know, his players love the fight and the battle because he does. And yeah, I don't think, you know, you can, you know, take or what do I want to say? You got to give a lot of credit in that department, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I mean, there's some things about this game. First off, too, I mean, first and goal at the two, they jump off sides, they have to get a field goal, they miss the field goal. There was something else that happened in the game, too, where you went, you know, hey, when you're trying to win games 16-13, you can't make those type of mistakes.
Yeah, the personal foul with Cam Hayward.
Oh, that's
at the end
it. You the man. Thank you. Right. The field goal. Right. It's a field goal. But now you give them the personal foul, and they go down and score a touchdown because they get first down. It was going to be 4th-and-6, I believe, or something like that. Right. And they're going to kick a field goal and go into halftime, you know, up 6-3. And instead, Cam Hayward does. So those are mistakes where I was sitting there going, I don't know if they can overcome that, you know. A little bit like the first game where I felt like they outplayed Baltimore, but they threw 2 or 3 interceptions, and I just went, you know, it's hard when you're winning. Like, Baltimore and Steelers, the way they play right now, there's not a lot of wiggle room for mistakes. But damn, did they hang in there. And damn, I would have kissed, like, feet all over the office if you told me that the Steelers were going to run for 198 yards on the Baltimore Ravens. Like, never would have fucking thought that happened. So that was a shocker. And then the clutch drive by Kenny Pickett. Like, just wow across the board. Like, wow.
So we have the play for Kenny Pickett to our viewing audience on Peacock and YouTube. He had to scramble out of the pocket right away.
Right.
You mentioned on the Peacock show with Catherine Tappan after it, you're like, and Chris Collinsworth did too. It's like, if this is Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, we're like, this is a great play. And I think we kind of are. I think we appreciate how good this play was. But what made this play special to you?
Well, I think, one, just the gravity of the moment. It's 3rd-and-8, right? I think he makes a mistake and didn't need to leave the pocket. He honestly caused himself more problems.
I was going to say that, too. He could have stepped up. It was his wrong instinct to go to the left.
It's one of his flaws of his game right now. He's a little too quick to leave the pocket at times where you just go, no, hey, man, stay in there. You're a good thrower. You know, you know how to make decisions. Work the pocket a little bit. But he'll get that. But it's just the one being pulled by JPP, kind of off balance. He pulls my shoulder in the jersey there. And then to kind of regain himself and then have enough body control to put the ball in it is a difficult throw. I mean, there's no room for error in that throw. And put it right on the money to Najee Harris. I think that's where. And, you know, again, his arm is not wowing. And, you know, when you see Allen and Mahomes do that, you know, they have a flair about that. They would have thrown it sidearm or something like that to where you just go, oh, that looks cool. He does it kind of more by the book, so we don't, like, think it looks as sexy and cool. But, yeah, that was a big-time play. And a few other big-time throws on the drive, too, to get him down there.
Yeah, if you told me, though, he can be better than a guy like, I don't know, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Do you think that's possible?
I think that's fair. I think that's
and
totally
Jimmy Garoppolo,
fair.
Obviously, yeah. you can win with a guy like
exactly
that.
Exactly right. You're exactly right. Would you tell me if he could be better than maybe a Kirk Cousins, right? You know, and I don't know. Maybe Steelers fans don't want to hear that. But yes, I think he can. And I think Kirk Cousins is a lot better than the public realizes. That's so I'm saying it in a positive way here.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever going to be a top five quarterback in football, but top 10, surgical, pick you apart, like
extend plays.
Got a little, like the guy we talked about in the draft process, got a little Matt Hasselbeck to him, who, again, I think Matt Hasselbeck is like one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the history of football. Yes, and you can, again, Matt Hasselbeck, he should have won a Super Bowl against the Steelers. His team failed him. I think you're right on track with what you're saying there. He's got more talent than a Jimmy Garoppolo.
We have another tweet here. I have no idea what this is, actually.
Yeah.
JZM the third says, I need to see this image on the screen for the next pod, please and thank you. I guess we have it. I don't know what that image is.
All right,
Matt says stand by.
Here we go. I like this though.
Building drama here.
Oh,
you want to read what this tweet says here?
You don't like this one, huh? It's a tweet of Kenny Pickett that says, "Tiny hands, big balls." Yep, that's right. That's great.
That's not something they evaluated at the combine. So
we did
no
it.
Way of verifying
at JZM. _3
We did show
it. We did it. And did, wait, did that say he was 6'9", whatever? What did that just say up there? Did that give his weight?
Yeah.
He's a big meathead, and he appreciated that. I like that.
Oh, JZM is 6'9".
It said it's 6'9", 2 something. He put his...
Oh, 269.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big dude.
We got your
Don't
tweet.
Don't mess with him.
He says get a tweet on there.
We're going to tell you where Pete lives and you can go deal with him.
So here's the AFC wild card picture now for that final seed. So New England, clearest path in. All they got to do is beat the Buffalo Bills, who might have something to play for the final week, so we'll have to wait and see on that. If they do that, they're in. Miami needs to win versus the Jets, and they need the Patriots to lose. And the Steelers need to beat the Browns, and they need New England to lose, and they need Miami to lose. So gut feeling with the license to change your mind when you do the picks pod.
Yeah.
Who do you think gets in here?
All right, so first thing is, here's the craziest thing. I really think they could all lose this weekend. That's really what I really think there's a good chance of that. I mean, again, the Dolphins possibly with a third string quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Jets are going to want to finish strong. The Bills, you know, I guess tonight, Monday Night Football against the Bengals maybe determines a little bit, but from the way it stands and looks right now, they're going to have something to play for next week. I don't think the Patriots are going to beat them if the Bills have something to play for. All right, then we get into Pittsburgh and Cleveland. I mean, Pittsburgh's going to be in a close game against anybody they play in football, right? So what, Nick Chubb breaks a run, and Deshaun Watson makes a big play, and they win some? Like, was that crazy to think that could happen,
no,
right?
Not at all.
Right. So that's where I just, like, it's and if that happened, and let's just say Tennessee beat Jacksonville, I think Jacksonville would go to the 7th seed, which is crazy. Jacksonville can still get in.
They can.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so, if they lose. So that probably would be the scenario.
That would be, but I'm not going to choose that one. I'm going to choose Jacksonville to beat Tennessee. And I think, yeah, I'm going to take that Miami loses, New England loses, and I think Pittsburgh will win a close game against the Cleveland Browns.
Wow.
I know. I think
just like last year.
All right.
And then they go to the postseason and get beat by maybe 35.
Well, it could happen. I mean, that's you're right. I mean, they're going to need their defense and their run game and all that to, you know, defense cause a turnover, run game eat up clock. That's the way they're going to have to play. But would it be shocking if all of them lost? I don't think it would be that shocking.
No, I agree with
right?
you. I agree with you.
If Jacksonville, and I just got to get this straight here. I'm still working things out in my mind here. If Jacksonville wins and then Pittsburgh, New England, and Miami all lose.
Probably
New England still gets in, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Matt Casey's saying yes, too. All right, I just want to make sure. All right, cool. So, but I'm going to take Pittsburgh getting in right now.
Okay. Yeah. Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin still has never had a losing season if they win, that streak continues. At least get a tie. I hope they at least get a tie so that he doesn't get that
losing
season.
This damn 17th game.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
Let's take a look at the top of the NFC now. So those are the teams that could basically maybe get in. Mm-hmm. How about the teams that are going to get the one seed? Because that's still up for debate here. The Eagles lost. We'll get to them here in a second. The 49ers in one of the most entertaining games of yesterday go to overtime against their rivals, the Raiders, win by three. I guess the biggest question of this one is that congratulations to the 49ers. The offense, Christian McCaffrey, was awesome, carried him in a lot of ways. But how did the defense from the 49ers get diced up like that against Jarrett Stidham, of all people, making his first start for the Raiders?
Right.
I mean, you haven't looked at the tape. This game was happening while you were getting ready for Football Night in America.
I got a feel, though.
A
good feel.
What happened?
Well, you know, one, as we always talk about, matchups are key a little bit. It's a Raiders offense that can do a little bit of both. All right, as far as run the ball, you heard, did you see what Nick Bosa said? Nick Bosa said that Josh Jacobs is the best running back he's ever seen in his life.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what he said after the game. He said it's the best running back he's played in his NFL career. He goes, he's a beast. So that was pretty unbelievable. I know that's a staff out there that believes in Jarrett Stidham, right? So he knows the offense. You know, I think he was always kind of on the radar for McDaniels and Mick Lombardi to be a starting quarterback up in the New England Patriots. So, you know, there's belief in him. Right. And then here's the big thing, I think, more than anything, is just the 49ers are not overly creative on the defensive side of the ball. You know, they're a little bit of a, hey, we're really good. This is what we do. Right. Every game, they might have a little curveball here and there. It's not so predictable. It's not like Seattle 3 all the time, but this is still rooted in Seattle 3 in a lot of ways. They're more of a quarters team, and they have cool ways to do it. But like, just as we talk about with Kyle Shanahan, McDaniel's the same way. If you play a same defense a little too much, you're just crazy to think a guy like Josh McDaniels isn't going to figure out, oh, wait, they like to do 3-on-2 here when we have two receivers stacked up. Well, I'll find a way to kind of expose that 3-on-2, right? And that's what I saw. I thought I saw a lot of plays from the Miami game and the Chiefs game that they went, wait, they had good ways to kind of expose their little zone coverage as they do. New, San Francisco loves to kind of 2-on-1, 3-on-2, 4-on-3. Does that make sense if
sure.
I'm explaining it the right way? That's kind of what they do in their coverages. And you got to be creative in how you kind of work your route combinations to kind of spread them out at times. And I saw a lot of that. And that's where I think they kind of had their way, let alone, as we've always talked about with the 49ers, one thing teams don't do is a lot of the times with that quarters, it's like man-to-man outside, right? Remember last year I was going, you throw it outside in the Niners, you can do that. Their corners aren't that good. Their corners are better this year, but they still give you those. So they took some shots down the field and did that as well on the outside and threw the ball outside the numbers, and that would kind of be my assessment overall.
Neil Mo 2010 asks you, well, first of all, he gives a damn okay to Josh McDaniels.
Yeah.
He goes, even though they lost, there were people wide open all night. Chris,
exactly.
Was Derek Carr missing people that were open, and is that why he got benched?
Definitely. 100%. Yeah. 100%. I mean, you've heard us allude to it a little bit, that he's still getting a hold of the offense, that he was hanging on first reads a little too long, but I'd have a hard time thinking that group up there would make that move, not knowing the offensive players, Davante Adams included, were behind it and supported it. And from what I've heard out there, yeah, I don't think this was like a I think they were all shocked by Derek Carr, for sure. that he got, you know, this whole thing happened this way. But I think they understood his play had not been up to capabilities, and that it's $30 million a year, and you're losing a lot of games, you know, the last drive or two at the end of the football game. And, you know, I think between the way the Steelers game ended, the Rams, he left a lot of plays in the second half open, Davante Adams and company. Yeah, I think that was just a big reason Derek Carr is not there anymore, let alone, again, I think this went into it of like, wait, is he really my franchise quarterback? We're going to kind of evaluate it. I think they got to a point and went, wait, it's not. He's not our guy. You know, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. We're going to go on to the next phase, and they felt like the timing was right. And I think that question is true.
You think Stidham's the guy then going forward?
I don't know. I think he's going to – I don't think he'll be the guy. He'll be there. Could I see them – you know, I think there's going to be a lot of options to be had. You know, like, again, the Baker Mayfield conversation, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, those type of guys to where that, the draft itself, you know, I think they'll have a few different ways to attack this. I'll be interested to see what they do. I don't know. I don't have a feel. I do know, as I always said, like the year of COVID, Jared Stidham was going to be the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, and they felt fine about that. And then Cam came in. Cam's leadership, his persona, everything just took over the franchise. And he was the leader of the team like the second week he was there, and he was a starting quarterback, and that was it. And Stidham, I think, you know, didn't put up the fight they wanted to in that department. So there's been inklings that they like this guy is what I'm trying to say. I don't know if he's the guy in the future, though.
Plenty of things to talk about in the offseason for a team that
now
has been eliminated from postseason
contention. Doesn't
seem
right that they play that kind of game and now you just dig it
to hole,
right?
Yeah. I know.
Right.
They played some exciting games out
there
for sure.
No doubt.
So it's time to lay them to rest, Kristen. We have another requiem for a team. Here lie the Las Vegas Raiders. Things between Josh and the fan base are tense. They think his coaching and play calling was dense. Hey, maybe Bill brings him back to the hood, and maybe he could get a job calling the defense. That is how they do things over there. Switch things around a little bit. He probably could do it.
You're funny.
He probably could do defense as well as Matt Patricia's calling offense
well,
over there.
I mean, well, you've always heard me say this about Josh McDaniel, Kyle Shanahan, you know, Andy Reid, Sean Payton, those kind of guys. They could coach the defensive side. I'm not saying they would be real good at it,
sure,
but they're good enough to go, wait, no, you got to fit here and this coverage, you got to do it. Like, they could do that. Those kind of guys. That's why they're great offensive play callers. But, that's why I want everybody to be patient with this regime out there. Again, I know I'm biased, and I know Josh McDaniels, and I worked for him and played for him and all that. But I'm only biased because I've seen great.
Yeah.
I've was told things and learned things from him that I did not learn from other people who everybody tells me are great. So this is a complex offense. They got to get the team to where the players that they like that fit their scheme. Again, it's Seattle 3. It's John Gruden, West Coast guys. It's not what they really want. So let this play out, and we'll see where it goes. I'd be shocked if they do a lot of positive things. And happy New Year to at Neil Moe 2010.
He did say happy New Year to the homies there,
yeah.
Neil Moe. Happy New Year. And it could be his birthday, too.
Yeah,
we don't know. We don't know when your birthday is. Tweet us in. It could be both. 49ers have won 9 in a row.
Yep.
Longest win streak since 97. They can clinch the one seed with another win and an Eagles loss, which is insane that the Eagles are in this situation because they were rolling towards that one seed. Then Jalen Hurts gets hurt,
yep,
and they lose again to the Saints. 2010 was the final score. You made waves a couple weeks ago when you said that they would not be that much worse with Gardner Minshew playing quarterback because the team was so good around him. And guess what? We saw against the Dallas Cowboys in a very good defense, they weren't that much worse.
Right.
They put up, 30-some points, and not all of them were offensive points.
No. Running back fumbles and you know, hey, two interceptions, and one of them was just an incredible play where you could easily blame the receiver and go, but you can't let the DB take that from you there. I mean, so, yes. But no, now I'm back to an idiot.
Well, now you're back to an idiot. Yeah. Well, there you go. We dismissed that last week's game because they did lose, in fact, to the Cowboys, and then the offense did not look good.
No.
And Gardner did not. They didn't get anything going until that long, I believe, touchdown pass to A.J. Brown at the end of the third quarter.
Yes. could get nothing going.
What happened? I mean, they're without Lane Johnson, too. I think that needs to be mentioned.
Definitely. I think one couldn't stay on the field early on in the game, never really got rhythm or a drive or anything going. So that seemed to be an issue. You know, I did feel like, again, they kind of fell in the trap of being a little pass happy early on in the football game. And this is Saints defense has kind of been on fire lately. I didn't know if they would be able to do this. Obviously, I didn't. I didn't think they would be able to do this against this Philadelphia football team. But you know, I am interested to kind of see what they did on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, the Eagles defense wasn't bad. They had the one long drive. I really looked at this as, it was more of an offensive issue. And I think that's where you do see, you know, again, Jalen Hurts and his value to the team. In a game like this, hey, things are real tough. They got some answers for some of the things we like to do. That's where his quarterback design runs and his stuff make it really hard on a defense with a great game plan. Or his ability to scramble and do that as well. So, Andy Dalton played good. They made some big plays early. He hit the, Rashid Shaheed for a big play that set him up for a field goal. They had the 15-play, 75-yard drive to get the first touchdown. It just kind of seemed slow death by the Eagles defense and an offense that just could not, get things going on a consistent basis.
There was a questionable call in the game. It was a 28-yard touchdown by Kenneth Gainwell. It was called back because of a holding on Landon Dickerson.
Pitiful call. Domination. It's where referees got to stop just seeing things out of the corner of their eyes and go, wait, he's on the ground. He must have been held. No, Landon Dickerson's a fucking awesome guard. He puts a lot of people on the ground. He dominated the guy, pancaked him. But the referee saw the guy falling down with his arms flailing, and he called holding. So that was a BS moment for sure. That was a little shocking. I just felt like even the Eagles' energy wasn't right there yesterday. I know I'm watching other games and all that, but it didn't seem like they were flying around the same way. They never really controlled the line of scrimmage on either side of the ball, which I was kind of surprised by.
Well, they still racked up the sacks, which they have
done. That was amazing.
They have now six or more sacks in five straight games. So and they do it with multiple players.
They do.
So they still were able to get to the quarterback.
They were. I mean, it almost seemed like more than six sacks. I guess it was the slow death running I'm thinking of. Some of the third down conversions early on in the game to stay on the field. Mm-hmm. That's where I just was like a little surprised. 18 for 22 for 204. Those are not numbers. That's not good defense. Yeah, you got some sacks, but it's telling you he was finding completions and they were kind of moving the ball at 5 and 8 yards at a time. And then the rushing numbers to add on to that. Yeah, they kind of did what the Eagles do to everybody else. I think that's what's surprising. And again, Jalen Hurts makes them better. I know that. And, fuck you, SportsCenter Instagram, for, putting it out again for, the third time in 3 weeks. Fuck off. Really, fuck off, ESPN SportsCenter. Seriously. They didn't put it out that in my quote last week after the Cowboys game, but they're going to wait to the game yesterday. That's why I hate social media, and fuck you, ESPN SportsCenter, one more time on the way out.
You wait till it's relevant. You can slam someone. You just.
Let's
wait for the right opportunity.
Do they not make content in there anymore? I mean, damn, stop jocking me, ESPN.
In the whole context, I feel like people think
of your check.
This was in the MVP debate context. Who is most
invite
valuable
me
to
on
the
SportsCenter
team?
And let's have a fucking conversation if you want to really get into this SportsCenter.
Wow,
invite me on. ESPN, you scared little babies. There you go.
Wow.
They're scared. They don't want any piece of me.
And babies.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a low blow.
Do you think he'll be on there now, Matt?
No, they'll chicken out in a heartbeat.
But you called him a baby.
Yeah, I'm just calling them the people that run their stuff over there. None of their on-air personality. I like a lot of them.
This is not personal. This is
personal to their social media handler there, and that's the bullshit. Right. Yeah.
All right, see. A head-to-head with you versus their social media manager.
Right, and anybody else on SportsCenter. I want them all. Lock me in a room with them, I'll take them.
Hurts may be back for Week 18. Yeah. We don't know.
It seems like
he's kind of close.
Gosh, they need it.
They need him.
Right.
It's a totally different offense, the way they can run their
offense.
Well,
against elite defenses, too. Not only they need him from this standpoint, too. They can't go into, even if they win this weekend, they're the number one seed. I just would hate to go, man, our starting quarterback hasn't played football in 5 weeks, and here we are playing, you know, blah, blah, blah team in the divisional round. Or he's only got one game under his belt and now we're going to play the 49ers. That's just where I'd want to get him out there a little bit. Not if you were like, whoa, he's still really banged up. But if he's like 90, 95% or above, I think I would get him out there for a few drives nonetheless. I would be scared to go that long without him playing real football.
So we will see. But one thing we do know for sure is even with the win, the New Orleans Saints will not be in the playoffs. They are they're eliminated dead. Officially. They're dead. And so we lay them to rest right now. Kristen, we have the Requiem for a Team music for the New Orleans Saints. There it is. It's going to be a number one hit after this whole podcast.
You're putting the Florida.
The fleur-de-lis.
Fleur-de-lis.
To bed.
Yes.
Here lie the New Orleans Saints. It's a team that could never break through, leaving Saints Nation feeling quite blue. But what's most out of whack is their best option at quarterback just took a job coaching Purdue. He might still be their best option at quarterback,
you're funny.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do. They're definitely going to be in the quarterback conversation next year, too, for sure. You know, that's where you think about, you know, draft Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, some of these other guys that are out there. You know, it'd be interesting. Sam Darnold, he's probably injected himself into that conversation once again.
Sure. Taysom Hill. Why not?
Yeah,
I think that ship has sailed.
I think it has sailed.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt goes Mike White. Maybe who's his next team going to be? Cause turmoil inside another franchise in the NFL. All right, let's move on to the NFC clinchers now. So we've got the teams that are on the cusp of clinching. We got some one seeds, but now we go to the teams that made a statement on Sunday, and it was Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going against your Carolina Panthers, who you picked to win this game, who I thought they were going to win too. And quite honestly, I was at home, and I was rooting for the Carolina Panthers to win this game because I was like, that's kind of a cool story.
Steve Wilkes turned it around,
a team that does it a little differently, running the football. Right. Sam Darnold, fresh beginnings for him.
No doubt.
And they had that lead, and he was making some big plays with his arm.
He was.
But then it was Tom Brady, who's like, no.
I've had enough of this.
I've had enough
Don't
of this.
Don't you remember me from the AFC East days? I run this. I run you.
I'm still the star here. And he hooked up with Mike Evans for two really long touchdowns. The last one was 30 yards, I think.
Yeah.
How impressed were you that, like, when they needed those big plays? They have not had them all season long.
It's been an issue. I mean, I kind of had fun with it last night on our Peacock postgame show, where I was just like, Happy New Year. Fuck, you guys couldn't connect the whole year. It turned 2023, and now all of a sudden you're unstoppable. It was kind of hilarious and phenomenal all at the same time. It's been a big part of their offense. It's been an issue this year. A lot of people in Tampa, why is that connection not happening this year? What's going on with Mike Evans? All of that. You know, and hey, both of them are, Evans has got a little older. Brady got a little older, sure. But man, as you can see, Brady can still push the ball down the field. And, like, yes, we're sitting there at 21-10, and it feels like Carolina's got total control of the game and total control of the game to your point where, like, Tampa, they were going to not let the run game dominate them. They were going to make Sam Darnold, to what you were saying, beat them, and he was kind of taking advantage of those opportunities other than one strip sack fumble he had earlier in the game. But other than that, he was playing good ball, and I'm going, man, 21-10? Wow, okay, well, this is going to be trouble. And I don't know, what was that first one? Like the fourth play of the drive for the long touchdown? You were just like, wow, okay, here they come. And it wasn't long after that that you just felt like, damn, oh, gosh, it's 21-17 or 16. And then you were like, oh, no, they got the ball back already. Can Carolina hang on here? You know, because I was like you. I was kind of rooting for Carolina as well. The story itself, I think, is pretty cool. And I'm not going to lie. I get a little Brady fatigue every now and then.
Sure.
So I was rooting for Carolina.
And who knows? Sam Darnold could be the quarterback of the future now for the Carolina Panthers. He's just 25 years old. He is the same age as Stenson Bennett, the quarterback of Georgia, who is taking them to a national championship.
That really is. That's amazing. It is.
But we talked about it on Wednesday's pod. I think a homie questioned in. He's like, what's more likely, that Carolina runs for over 200 yards or fewer than 50? And you go, Tampa's not going to hold them to 50 yards. Well, they did not. You were right on that. But 74 yards in the game was quite impressive.
When?
And Vita Vea played. I don't know how exactly they did it, but they figured it out.
They did. It looked like it was a lot of people at the line of scrimmage. It looked like they were willing to take some chances in pass coverage and go, wait, if DJ Moore beats us deep, which he did a little bit early on, and they made some plays like that. But I think overall, just you know, not an explosive enough passing offense. And the thing we've hit on with Tampa, they're healthy. They're a pain in the butt still on the defensive side of the ball. We can't write them off in that department. So there's something to be said there. And then, as we've been reminded a few times over the last month, if just you let him hang around, he's defenses get tired late. They start to get conservative. And that's where Brady seems to strike, and he still is as clutch as it gets.
Here's the passing chart if you're watching on YouTube or Peacock. He basically took four attempts deep down the field, three on the right sideline, connected on all three to Mike Evans.
Well, that's where it's like, I want to criticize Carolina for going, why would you leave him one-on-one? But this is why. Because the numbers, the way they play, show they were trying to stop the 5- and 8-yard completion because that's where Brady lives kind of right now. So they were playing those type of, like, hey, let's stop this crosser and this guy crossing. So they had people there. But unfortunately, that left, you know, C.J. Henderson one-on-one with Mike Evans a few times, and he made them pay. And, man, if they get that connection going, that defense playing, they will be a pain in the butt. I didn't believe they could actually be a pain in the butt. But now Brady throwing bombs like that and hit them. I didn't even care about the clutch drive against the Saints or the Cardinals. They weren't even that impressive to me. That was more impressive to me yesterday to go, uh-oh. Now they might have some mojo in the explosive pass game category, sure. And that's where they can be a handful.
It still almost blew up, though, and it was saved by the punter,
is
Jake Camarda, the rookie punter.
It's crazy.
Was a fourth-round draft pick, low snap. You've probably seen the play. Bobbled it. Was still able to, like, Todd Bowles said it was the most athletic play that he has ever seen from a punter in his life.
It's pretty good. I just, to be running left and then kick it with your right leg, with, like, somebody reaching out and kind of grabbing you, it was pretty amazing. It was, I got up when it happened because, like, nobody was really watching the game anymore. It kind of got into, like, they're going to, you know, punt and the game's over, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know why I was kind of focusing in on the punt.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Holy, like, because I'm thinking he's going to get tackled right there, and they're going to have 35 seconds from, like, the 40-yard line to go score and win the game.
Sources from inside the room say you were yelping.
I was yelping. I was going, I was yelping. And then he got, and I was like, what the, you know, I started going, how do you let him outside? How do you, let? You know, so I did all that. But, yeah, that was one of those get out of your seat type of moments there.
The punt didn't count because there were some people downfield, but the fact that he got it out there was like, then you
accept the
penalty
exactly
and then you make him repunt it.
Exactly right.
Saved the game for them. And now Tampa's in the playoffs, so you know what they're singing now in the postseason tournament bracket. Bowls in this house. There's Todd Bowles in this house. There's Todd Bowles in this house. A certified freak, you know, 7 days a week, Todd Bowles has got the Buccaneers back in the postseason. So their song is positive. For the Carolina Panthers, unfortunately, we have to fire up the music one more time podcast as we lay one more team to rest. And they are the Carolina Panthers. Here lie the Carolina Panthers. They had a running game that was full steam ahead, but every other stat was deep in the red. They were knocking on playoffs door, all ruined by DJ Moore when he took that dang helmet off of his head. Why did he do that?
Isn't that crazy?
Atlanta Falcons, remember the end of the game?
Yes.
And they missed the extra point, go to overtime, lose in overtime.
They got a lot of positives. There's talent on the team, right? You know, that's for sure. And I think, you know, the future is still bright there. Yeah, they're going to look back at this year and go, man, we messed up some opportunities, whether it was that. There's another game. The Ravens game was certainly there to be had at one point. And, of course, yesterday was as well. But I like the direction they're going. Now they just got to figure out quarterback and head coach. And I certainly wouldn't be mad to see, you know, Wilkes as the guy they bring back. I really wouldn't. I think he did a really good job. I think he got an unfair shake the first time with Arizona. And if he can maybe get what he wants on the offensive side of the ball and how he sees it, I don't know. They're a team that, you know, you saw me last year. I thought they were last year's Jacksonville team, right? That's what I thought. And it didn't quite work out. Maybe the coaching was a big part of that, and this guy kind of got things going in the right way.
Maybe one day they'll get into the postseason like a team, like the New York Football Giants in the postseason for the first time since 2016. They are locked in to the number 6 seed. This was a shellacking against Jeff Saturday.
Shellacking. We don't mess around. You come up here to fucking New York, we send you back to Indianapolis.
Well, it was the first time they won by double digits this season.
Oh, don't rain on my parade.
They do mess around quite a bit. But, yeah, an emphatic way to get to the postseason. Brian Daboll, finally got to acknowledge it. And then Daniel Jones, what was it? He gave the team 2 days off?
He gave him 2 days off. He said Victory Monday on it. He Victory Monday the coach. I love it.
And Dayball's like, I can't
do anything there, right? The team was already too excited, and, hey, they're playing for nothing. This is the week you give the team Victory Monday. That's the way. That's what a quarterback does, though, right there. That's a big move. That's what a leader of a football team does. He recognizes, wait, this is the time where I can, you know, we need a day off. We've been grinding the whole year. We sewed it up. Let's show back up Wednesday. I'm sure he had some guys in the locker room like, hey, go ask Coach for Victory Monday. Ask Coach for Victory Monday. And he just went out there and said, hey, Victory Monday. And Dave Ball was like, all right, fine, great. Yeah. So it's awesome. I'm so happy for the Giants, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, two guys that are, you know, been through the crap years here in New York. And that was awesome to see yesterday. Giants Stadium just seemed alive. I wish I could have kind of focused on it singularly a little bit more to hear the stadium.
NFL Research had this nugget on Daniel Jones. He joined Charlie Connerly in 1948 as the only players in Giants franchise history with two passing touchdowns and two rush touchdowns in a game. And I was thinking that when I was watching it. I was like, man, this guy's like Chris Connerly out here.
Charlie Connerly. Oh.
Well, Charlie. I called him Chris.
You
I think
it
was his dad was Chris. Right. Yeah. And so that's what I called him.
Do you know what number Charlie Connerly wore as a quarterback of the New York Football Giants back in the day?
I'm guessing 42, maybe.
You fucking cheater.
No way. Is that?
He did.
No way. Yeah. I just threw a random number
Are
out there.
Are you serious?
I had no idea.
He did. He wore 42. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's an all-time
number,
Giant
didn't know
great.
His name.
Yeah, all-time Giant great, certainly. And then the Giants are, this is an old school team the way they play. You know, it's just
well. There's something to that, though, right?
Yeah.
And I think you made a great point on like a similarity between Josh Allen and Daniel Jones. I mean, they're totally different quarterbacks,
right?
But you think that Brian Daboll has like coached them similarly?
I do. I think he's like Josh Allen, year two, year three. Like, whoa, big horsey, rein in there. We don't need to throw that ball in there. We don't need to do that. You don't need to sit in the pocket there for 12 seconds. Like, let's get out, make a play, move, do something, and. What was that? That was the number one thing we talked about, right, with Daniel Jones the last few years. You know, just have a better feel of, like, hey, when to get out of Dodge, play backyard football a little bit. He's, like, a master at it now. Here we are. In week 18, he's like, oh, watch, you got to watch. I mean, teams are going, we got a game plan to keep Daniel Jones in the pocket. He's beating teams that way, let alone his run game. And then, you know, the defense still continues to amaze me. You know, they just find ways to be creative, aggressive. You know, cover holes, got little issues on the defensive personnel department. Doesn't really matter. That's why Wink Martindale deserves, in my opinion, to be in the head coach conversation. He's one of those guys that's going to get forgotten about because their defense isn't a top five or a top 10 defense. And I'm going to go, well, what do you think that defense would be ranked if they didn't have Wink Martindale? Mm. That's what I want to tell people. What do you think it would be? And it's they play the right way, as we've said. And yesterday was the usual formula. It was Daniel Jones, 5-yard throw here, run here, another 5-yard throw, a bootleg. Oh, he ran up the sideline. Oh, a bootleg. He threw the ball in the flat. And, you know, slowly but surely, they just kind of dominated the.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Gold for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
So they're the sixth seed. The Kansas City Chiefs have a chance to still be the number one seed. They need some things to go their way, I think, right? They don't control that one
they
seed.
They don't control the it, no, because they've lost to the
That's
Buffalo
right, the
and Cincinnati, right?
Almost lost to the Denver Broncos, who just played their first game without Nathaniel Hackett after the firing there.
Yep.
They do win by three. Quick thoughts on this one. Is there anything that we learned or figured out about the Chiefs in this game?
Another good performance by or the defense. Like, I think that's one of the positives you can look at, okay? And another of where I just go, gosh, they're frustrating. I mean, he started off so good and on fire. I'm talking about Mahomes. Mm. It was another game of like, it's like, you know, what do I always say with him? I don't know, just bullshit or just coasting or like, you know, we're better than them and, you know, we'll do whatever we want and, oh, wait, we'll let them get close and then we'll step on the gas pedal again. But, I mean, he was amazing early and I was going, oh, my gosh, he's on his game. They're going right down the field. You know, they were kind of controlling. He throws a stupid interception in the end zone on a crossing route, tries to fit it in there. You know, Kadarius Toney fumbles a punt return. And then here you go. You're going, oh, my gosh, they're kind of in a dogfight here. Right. So then Mahomes missed. I wrote down. I was like, man, Mahomes has been awesome. And then that followed by, man, Mahomes is missing some big plays down the field within the pocket. It's the weirdest thing ever. I know you've heard me say this. The worst thing about Patrick Mahomes' game, in my opinion, is in rhythm downfield passing in the pocket. He's like the Sundance Kid. Like if you ask him to stand there and shoot and hit the bullseye, he's like not as good at that. But if you say, hey, now you can move and throw the ball from your knee and have your – and then it's all of a sudden he's like, oh, now I can hit the bullseye. It's like, I know you've never seen that movie, so no, you're like, what no the fuck what are you talking about? Yeah. Sundance wasn't good when they just went – but when he asked them to pull it out of the holster and boom, boom, boom and do that, he could hit anything like three times in a row, right?
Sure. Like so, be athletic, right. Kind of. Like that makes sense to me, though.
He's like that more. Instead of like when it's, hey, I'm going to take five steps, and on the second hitch, I'm going to throw the post down the middle of the field. He's always a little off target.
He's not a robot.
But he can improve on that. That's for sure. And he left some plays on the field there from that department. Yeah, we saw Denver show a little life, certainly. But, you know, Wilson mistake at the end of the game. I do like the Chiefs defense and what they're doing there. But, yeah, that was a not motivated Chiefs offensive performance. And 2-for-9 on third downs, and just none of it was good.
And like you mentioned about a week and a half ago, red flags on special teams as well.
Definitely.
Harrison Butker, another 100%. Missed field goal here. Botched hold on an extra point.
Right.
Fumbled a punt. Yep. So some things to clean up for the Kansas City Chiefs, for sure, who can clinch the one seed. It's written right here. I don't know why I didn't look at it. With a win versus the Raiders and a Buffalo loss. So we move on to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have a chance to win the AFC South with a win Saturday night versus the Tennessee Titans. Whoever wins that game is the division winner. They had a nice warm-up game against the Texans. 31-3 was the final score. It was actually a warm-up half, because they rested most of their key starters for almost the entirety of the second half. Yeah. This is, you missed the boat here.
Why?
I mean, this is maybe of all your predictions this year, this was your best one when you saw the Jaguars in person and you were like, they're real. Like they're legit. A team that has not been legit for years and years and years, who just beat the Houston Texans for the first time in
five years,
something like that.
Crazy.
Like,
wow, it's something
really?
Stupid.
I was like, Houston hasn't been
You're
good
like,
either.
What?
You should have picked them to make the playoffs.
I know. I just, down the stretch, I've been burning on them and picking games here late because they burned me a few times. I was like, okay, I don't know. Maybe they can't figure it out how to win. but hopefully somebody made some money and did a futures bet on the Jacksonville Jaguars by listening to what I said there. I think everybody's seeing kind of what I saw in person or evaluating their roster and team through preseason is you're starting to see, like, there's not a whole lot. They got a lot of playmakers. They got a lot of difference-making sizzle type of guys. And they got the meat and potatoes to go with it. And it's a young team, as we discussed, when they were losing some of those games. You know, right now they've figured out how to win, and now they've gone into, wait, fuck winning. We got some mojo, and we think we can just play with anybody. They kind of had that going yesterday. It was like they outclassed them from the get-go. It just seemed like ATN and the run game and just things were like I was turning over and go, whoa, there goes the Jacksonville guy flying in space. Whoa, there's another guy. And the game was over, you know, before we even got to settle in and watch it. But they're dangerous. They are a team. They are one of those teams I do look at to go, they could upset some things we'd like to see in divisional or AFC championship game weekend. They can mess that formula
totally
up, right? They're just, I don't think there's a team in the AFC that I look at that's going to go, well, they're going to outclass Jacksonville in this area or that area or that. No, they're going to feel good physically against anybody. It's just about, you know, youngness, first time in the playoffs, and can they manage their emotions and not make dumb mistakes and think, I got to make a play here in this moment and do that kind of stuff. because they'd be one of those teams that go, oh, man, we got to play these guys in the first round. Jeez, Trevor Lawrence and some of these studs they got all over the field. That'll be scary.
Been a lot of good coaching performances this year. I think Doug Peterson certainly
Holy
up there
shit.
Among the best.
Yeah.
That they would get a wild card still. We mentioned this before, but they can still get the wild card with a loss, but they got to hope for a Patriots, Dolphins, and Steelers loss, which you think is not that improbable to get all three of those losses.
I don't think it's crazy.
I don't think it's crazy
right?
either.
You know, when you lay it out there, you talk about it, you're kind of like, yeah, that can happen. You're right. We'll see where it goes. We'll see.
And Houston can clinch the number one pick in the draft with a loss next week. Bryce Young could be going to Houston. Time now for Give Me the Headlines presented by Hyundai. Two more games. The battle for L.A., Chargers and Rams. The headline for this one is, and I'll start. I'll give you a prompt.
Okay, please. Right? We're a team.
Whose house?
Bolt's house.
Whose house?
Bolt's house. People aren't going to get that. They're going to be like, that's not that funny.
Yeah.
But if you went to a Rams game,
yeah,
which it's all the PA announcer does is go, whose house? And they go, Rams house. They're very insecure about their dominance of L.A.,
yeah.
or I guess in the fan base and area.
Well, they might not even have
Rams. They did in the Raiders game a few weeks ago. Yeah. Remember when the Raiders were there? That was the thing you kept hearing in the background. So
I feel like that chant might not go well for them because I feel like Raiders fans could be louder than Rams fans inside that building.
Oh, yeah, they were. I think they proved that a few weeks
Raiders
ago.
Raiders house?
Yeah, we've seen the Niners take it over there. We've seen a few things for sure.
So the Chargers, this is kind of a tune-up game for them because they're already in. But, man, it looks like they got some things flying on all cylinders. And Matt was talking to you about it before the pod. Like, they're sneaky looking like a team who we know offensively they can put up some points. Mike Williams healthy. Eckler was good. But is that defense starting to round into shape for you?
I think so. It's kind of like what we've been saying. They've shown me some toughness here the last 6 or 8 weeks that I wasn't sure was there. And now Joey Bosa's back there, you know. O-line's getting healthy, running the ball a little bit like we saw. I think that can open up some more big play opportunities in the pass game. You know, early on, the Rams were kind of putting up a fight, and I went, oh, this game, like, you know, Rams, McVay, Baker, they're going to do something here. But just slowly but surely, they kind of just wore the Rams down. And I wasn't sure they were going to do that with locking up a playoff spot. You thought, oh, maybe they'll, you know, kind of let off the gas pedal here in a not meaningful type of game.
Yeah.
But no, they took the opportunity to improve on things and kind of polish themselves a little bit that way. I think that's the exciting thing. And then, yeah, I mean, Derwin James, he should be back next week, certainly by the playoffs. I you know, they classified them just like we just talked about Jacksonville. I don't want to sound repetitive, but damn, the AFC is scary. It's just scary. There's quarterbacks and playmakers on some of those offenses that you can go, yeah, this team's not better, but you know, one mistake or one guy doing an extraordinary thing and results could be totally thrown upside down in that conference.
Looks like the Chargers will be the 5 seed. I think they still might have to win, and that is important because you don't want to play, you know, the Chiefs, Bills, or Cincinnati. If you're the 5 seed, you're playing at either Jacksonville or Tennessee.
That would be the choice I would want. You know, as much as we just said Jacksonville and we got respect for them, I'd much rather play a team that's playing their first playoff game rather than Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, or Patrick Mahomes up there in that department. That's for sure. You know, so not only is it the least battle-tested team in Jacksonville, it's also the easiest environment to go into and play a road playoff game in. So that's where, this is pretty cool to see the Chargers doing this. So, yeah, the Chargers, I guess, what, if they lost and Baltimore won, that would flip, right?
Baltimore then would win the division, possibly.
Well, not if Cincinnati wins tonight.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it depends on that. But
Baltimore
would
still have to lose. But
there's still some juggling of the AFC North and the 5 and 6 seed between those three teams that will get a better feel for after the Monday night matchup.
Rams with 11 losses, the most losses ever by a defending Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
We've never seen this before.
Crazy.
We'll get into them, I'm sure,
as
the offseason goes on. One more game to talk about, Falcons and Cardinals. Thrilling game that happened. And it's one of those if the tree falls in the forest games.
Right. Or
does it make a sound?
Or I think it's like more appropriately for the birds.
Okay? Oh, good one. I like that.
Caw, key, caw, key, caw.
Matt has said this should not last for more than 45 seconds, and we're already like 15
How
in.
How dare
so
you?
Your 30-second recap.
The battle of the birds.
One thing we should take away from this game.
Desmond Ridder, a little growth there. I mean, Atlanta just playing tough. Like, I have not great feel for this football game. It felt like It Matt Casey got in my ear and goes, you don't need it. It felt like Arizona kind of put up a better showing to me. I guess maybe it was better than I expected once I heard Colt McCoy wasn't playing.
Yeah.
I expected it to really be bad. David Blau looked like he did a decent little job. But, again, just late game, Falcons running the ball and doing that to teams is unbelievable how they kind of just wear you out that way. And that's what it seemed like happened again. And good for them, and that's credit to Arthur Smith and their team battling.
Two shout-outs for me. J.J. Watt, another sack. He's got, what, 10 this year now?
Wow.
One more game until he retires.
Man.
So great career for J.J.
That's
Watt.
Crazy.
He's still got it going.
10 sacks, and he's going to retire.
Yep. And Tyler Allgeier goes over 1,000 scrimmage yards this season as a rookie for Atlanta. So two shout-outs.
Player. I mean, he's a ball of thunder running through between the tackles. It's again, it's just that last drive. It just seemed like it was Allgeier and Cordell just up the middle for 5 and 10. It just, they're unbelievable how they can kind of get it going, and they seem to get it going in the fourth quarter in this one.
That was Give Me the Headlines presented by Hyundai. One more game to go Monday night. Our BetMGM parlay preview: Bills at Bengals. Wow, very good one.
Oh.
Bills favored by 1.5. Over under is 49.5. You said a week ago, you're like, you're most confident about one thing in this game. Defenses are going to shine.
I think the under would be, if you're going to make me bet on anything, it would be that. That's always scary when you got these two guys at quarterbacks.
Right,
you're
know.
Like, hey, the game's 13-13 with 7 minutes left, and all of a sudden it's like, they won 30-27.
That's one of those takes where if you're the ESPN social media guy, you just clip that off. Hold that. Sit on that. You know, because if this game ends up 40-42, tweet it out.
One more time. Fuck you, ESPN and SportsCenter, okay? All right, so here we go, though. I'm not going to watch any film today. It's not going to happen. Between it being a de facto New Year's Day, and there's the Cotton Bowl on, and I want to watch Caleb Williams in USC.
Yep.
I want to watch him throw the ball. I think he's the best quarterback in college football, the Heisman winner. The Rose Bowl, Penn State, Utah. Like, I got to watch the Rose Bowl. It's just, it's to me like a special, I love to see that stadium, the setting. And then we go right into Monday Night Football. Yeah, I'm not going to get film work done today, all right? So don't put something on my plate to tell me that I need to watch this for Wednesday.
No. That's fine.
Because you like to do that to me.
Yeah.
But I do think defenses, back to the point, will be a pain in the butt in this one.
And you think the Bengals are going to win. You picked the Bengals to win by 2.
23-21.
Wow.
Right? But, yeah, it's to me, it's that kind of football game. I don't think either offense is balanced enough to make one of the defenses go all in on a department. Right? I don't think, again, Buffalo's not going to run on Cincinnati. It's going to allow them to play coverage and do all that, and they're creative as hell as that. So I could see them giving Allen and company real problems there. You know, Buffalo's defense, very good. You know my thoughts of the Cincinnati offense. It's simple. They don't do a lot. I think they're going to be able to break it down and have people dropping in all the right areas. And Cincinnati's not a great run football team either. I just think it's going to be that type of game. I think you'll see some really exciting, awesome plays. And we're going to go, oh, here they go. It's about to be a shootout. And then they're going to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it's going to be one of those. But I'm excited for it.
If it plays out like that, it is unlikely that either Joe Burrow or Josh Allen gets themselves back into the MVP conversation.
Because BetMGM like
has
guy.
The odds out there.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, the overwhelming favorite, minus 650 right now. Joe Burrow, second choice at plus 700, with Josh Allen at third at plus 1,200. Seems unlikely that either one is going to launch himself into that.
I would agree with that. You know, I think you said it right. I think it would take one of them to have a 4 or 5 touchdown game tonight, or a 4 touchdown, and then maybe something like that next week. But right now we're sitting here with Patrick Mahomes, who's thrown for 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions. That's and we know that the way they play and who they are is all because of him. So it's interesting. Here's another little food for thought thing.
Yeah.
Just to. And I had this conversation with my dad late in the week last week, and he's kind of made me – I didn't see the CBS pregame to start yesterday because we're in our own meeting. But he kind of was like, oh, I like that. I think I might steal that and do the opening of the show where they have to kind of give a big picture thought. But, like, what I want to say is, like, you know, the – and you might have heard me say it, like, the taking care of the football thing. Listen, I know turnovers are a big part, but it's less – I think when you look at what these quarterbacks are right now and the way the modern-day NFL is, you look at the teams, that the quarterbacks that are leading football in interceptions, it's all the best teams in the sport. It's all of them. You know, and here, I'm going to read through it here. I mean, Kirk Cousins, first off, is leading football in interceptions. All right. Okay. They're good. You can say what you want. Dak Prescott is also tied with him. Okay. Josh Allen is right behind him. All right. Then we got Matt Ryan, Davis Mills. I get that. Patrick Mahomes right there. Joe Burrow, right? Justin Herbert, all in the top 10 interceptions in football. To my point of what we've been saying, like all the dink and dunk football league is over. It's you can score the way the rules are, the protection of the quarterback, the pass interference, be aggressive. Mm-hmm. And that's what's cool about tonight. I don't know why I went down that road.
No, no, no.
I'm
it's
sorry.
Like slugging it's percentage in baseball. No,
exactly.
I think it's good.
There
it's
you go. That's
like
what
you're
I mean.
Going to strike out a lot, but
right.
Got to make those big plays.
Right.
It's
exactly
too hard
right.
to do 15 play drives all the way. Yeah, batting average, yeah. too. Yeah, batting average is done though, Matt. It's all about slugging percentage.
No, that's what he's saying. That's like saying. It's the 74 completion percentage is like batting average. It's not as important as people want to make it to be.
Backing up my point.
Right.
The action never stops at BetMGM. Sign up now using the bonus code SIMS. Your first wager risk-free up to $1,000.
So say you bet $100 on T. Higgins to score the first TD tonight. That's the most popular prop bet on BetMGM. I could see that, certainly. I wouldn't be shocked. If you win, you will get $1,100. But if you lose, you will still get $100 worth of free bets.
Simply download the BetMGM app today. Go to BetMGM.com. Enter the bonus code SIMS. As always, do so responsibly. Start off 2023. In a good way.
Yeah, that's
right. You
don't want
to get behind the eight
bet
ball.
Bet the house on Allen.
You don't want to do that right away. Not right away. Not right away. Maybe at the end of the year to make up all the losses. No, don't do that either. But that's it. There we did it. We did it. We only got
way
one
go.
More of those Monday recap ones to do, and then we're
and then
the
we
playoffs.
Have four more Monday recaps to do after that.
Well, that's true. I mean, but the real meaty ones. The real meaty ones. The games
all right.
Become,
Happy New Year
Happy
to everybody
New Year.
Out there. You're right. The meaty ones are done. I'm sorry about your Michigan Wolverines,
yeah.
right? I wanted them to win to show the Big 12 point, but I do love watching Jim Harbaugh lose. So I will say that. Hey, congratulations to your Lions, though. Can't have it all in one weekend, all right?
Know.
Happy New Year to everybody out there. Hope you enjoy the day today. It's going to be awesome. College football, NFL Monday Oof. Night, best game of the year Monday Night Football. But, hey, Wednesday, you know what we're going to do. Send in the questions, subscribe, rate, review. We'll be back. Ahmed Fried, you the man. Clap it
Clap
up.
It up.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.